Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance this week is for the United States Department of Health and Human Services, which recently began denying applications for Head Start funding if the agencies seeking funds used any words from a prohibited list in their submissions. Initially, the list was only 19 words long, but included some of our most sacred terms such as bias, racism, marginalized, institutional, equity, diversity, gender, inclusion, LGBTQIA, and a personal favorite, chest feeding. Even with such a small list of forbidden terms, you can already see it would be very difficult to perform even the most basic of virtue signals on an application. These words are as vital to our way of communicating as any in the English language. But things quickly got worse when HHS expanded the list to include nearly 200 forbidden terms. Applicants can't use the word tribal, even when applying for programs that serve indigenous communities, a term which itself was also banned. Applicants can't use the word disabilities, even though significant funds come through HHS from the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, and part of Head Start's mission is to create inclusive and accessible classrooms for children with disabilities. Inclusion is also not allowed. The expanded term includes terms such as black, climate crisis, culturally sensitive, discrimination, equal opportunity, gender, immigrants, Hispanic minority, intersectional, oppression, political, pollution, pregnant people, pronouns, prostitute, socioeconomic, sexuality, stereotype, trauma, transgender, victims, and women. That's right, applicants can't even use the word women without having to fear getting whiteballed for it. For the novitiates here this morning, we don't use the racist term blackballed for obvious reasons. And just to be sure President What's-His-Name's vanity is stroked, using the geographical name Gulf of Mexico is also now disqualifying. After reading this list and realizing that as much as 73% of decent adult progressive conversation depends on these words, we knew we were really seeing the advent of a brand new period of linguistic terrorism. Our enemies aren't just fighting against our ideas, they're asphyxiating our very ability to communicate them. Ever since the 18th Semi-Ecumenical Council of Not Very Nice Ia, we have been following the advice of Thought Itress-in-Chief Ingrid Constiglione, who implored us to actively root out the language of white supremacy and replace terms wherever possible with ones that fit our own worldview and value systems. That's why the 2014 Declaration of War Against Words That Oppress was so vital in our work to use every tool of social leverage to eradicate the language of the patriarchy. But now, Bobby Kennedy Jr. has apparently turned our own cultural weaponry against us and is outlawing the language of virtue. You see, words are the building blocks of ideas, and if you can't use woke words, you can't form woke ideas. Obviously, we are continually trying to eliminate words that let you think like a racist or a sexist because you can't perpetuate the straight white patriarchy if you can't think straight white patriarchy thoughts. And you can't think straight white patriarchy thoughts if you can't use straight white patriarchy words. If you don't let a child have blue Legos, he can't build blue Lego structures. Likewise, if you don't let people use straight white male words, they can't build straight white male social structures. But just as true, if they don't let us use woke words, we have no way to speak forth the beauty of a future woketopia. Now look, in one sense, we grudgingly admire that RFK Jr. has figured out our strategy and is using it against us, but in another sense, he's using our tools for revolution to strengthen the cultural imperialism of the straight white male, and therefore, we find his actions deplorable. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, we really want to commend that wonderful publication, The People's Republic of Time Magazine. I know we don't call it that, but we all know whose interest Time Magazine serves. Haven't you ever thought about the significance of that beautiful, bright red communist front cover border color? Anywho, Time Magazine recently issued its Blanks of the Year covers, and this year the Athlete of the Year is none other than Asia Wilson. I can tell by your lack of response that you don't know who she is either. Well, that's because she plays in the WNBA. But that's part of why we're so proud of Time. They chose one of the least popular sports on Turtle Island, women's professional basketball. a note, we're now using this term, Turtle Island, from the indigenous peoples to describe our native land instead of colonizer language labels such as North America or United States. But to their credit, Time did it 2 years in a row. That's right, last year's Athlete of the Year was Caitlin Clark, the rookie so-so star and cause celeb of the WNBA last year. This has all the hallmarks of an extremely powerful virtue signal by Time. First, they made up for naming a white woman last year by naming an African-American woman this year. Second, simply picking a woman 2 years in a row symbolically fights back against the patriarchy by ignoring men, just as men and the entire structure of systemic sexism that is modern sports ignores female athletes. Third, they chose the perennially unprofitable WNBA to feature twice in a row instead of soccer, volleyball, or any of the Olympic sports like gymnastics, swimming, or synchronized Pilates. But there is another reason to celebrate this selection. Its absolute unashamed refusal to acknowledge reality. In a year when Asia Wilson put up an impressive 23 points and 10 rebounds per game, making 42% of her three-point attempts, as well as winning the scoring title, the Defensive Player of the Year, and MVP of both the regular season and the finals, she was certainly the best female basketball player the WNBA has to offer. However, if we're being genuinely objective, the only choice for Athlete of the Year this year was Los Angeles Dodgers power-hitting pitcher, and power pitching phenomenon Shohei Ohtani. In the last 2 years, Ohtani hit 109 home runs, 232 RBIs, put up an impressive 1.023 OPS, pitched a 2.87 ERA, completed the first 50-50 season in MLB history, was an All-Star twice, was a National League MVP twice, and won two World Series for his team. But that's why picking Asia Wilson is so commendable. The choice this year was obvious, but instead of picking the obviously best athlete in the world, let alone just on Turtle Island, the People's Republic of Time magazine chose the black girl named Asia over the white male, well, Asian male, who's actually from Asia, with a different spelling, of course. And this is the crucial element for our commendation. Striking a blow for irrationality and fighting against the facts in order to promote the wokeness of our culture. Time magazine practiced the most wonderful affirmative action this year, choosing the lesser athlete because she's a black woman and pretending she is the greater without batting an eye or a home run. So well done, Time. This is exactly the kind of fake news for the cultural revolution we expect from you. If you really want to go for the trifecta, next year, pick a Hispanic transgender water polo player. That would be amazing. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, the holy rainbow-crusted uterus hat of wokeness, seven tassels, this week goes to everyone involved in the important work of making the Hinkley Point C nuclear power station in Somerset, England, safe for fish. The design of this power plant depends on rapidly taking in vast amounts of water to keep the reactor cool, but an initial study determined that ingesting so much water so quickly would end up risking the death of 182 million fish annually. Don't question the number, it's science. But how to take up so much water without also taking up so many fish? Well, the French company building the plant, EDF, proposed something so elegant that it takes our breath away. A fish disco. A vast network of very loud underwater speakers constantly playing music at a volume and of a style that the fish don't want to be around. That way, they'll avoid the water around the power plant intake and be saved from the rapid water ingestion. The system envisions 288 louder underwater speakers across several miles of murky water in the Bristol Channel, blaring music louder than a jumbo jet 24 hours a day for 60 years at a meager cost of $30 to $50 million. Which is a pittance against a $61 billion power plant project. However, there's a problem. Whereas it's relatively easy to play classical music at a Circle K to discourage teenagers from congregating there, or even make a high-frequency buzzing sound that older people cannot hear, things are not so easy when it comes to fish discos. You see, high-frequency sounds to deter the shad, but those same pitches hurt the ears of dolphins, who communicate in those ranges. Trout and salmon, in contrast, are deterred by strong thumping bass, the sound, not the fish, although they probably don't love the thumping of a bass either. But unfortunately, eagles have ears located behind their eyes and only respond to flashing lights, so underwater disco balls plus strobe effects are needed to discourage them. Moreover, testing showed that although the multi-musical fish disco with strobes kept a lot of fish away, some would still inevitably be caught up in the Olympic-sized pool water gasp the plant inhales every few seconds to keep cool. So they built a $930 million system of chambers that would slow down the water with a filtering system to expel fish into a 2,000-foot evacuation tube that safely returns the fish, including endangered ones, back to the channel. EDF is now talking about the ongoing difficulties of all this, the divers, the repairs, the maintenance, plus possibly deploying mobile disco systems off of boats as an alternative to a fixed underwater sound deterrent barrier, and even now considering the possibility of using robots to maintain the whole thing, a good suggestion from the clever representatives of the fish disco lobby. All we know is this. Spending hundreds of millions of dollars on a ridiculous scheme to save some fish and bring a filthy capitalist energy production scheme to its knees is yet another triumph of our order. As we like to say, no mouse is too small, no bat is too frail, no fish is too tone-deaf to ignore, and if it means bringing all human progress to a financially crippling standstill to protect a few deaf, blind, endangered shad, well, dear othern, that's the price of decency. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.